It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
sad mood tonight. Oh, I'm in a sad mood. I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, my baby done gone away and left me. My baby done gone, yeah. My baby done gone away and left me. My baby done gone. I don't know why she left me. I don't know where she's gone. But all I know is I'll never be happy until my baby comes back home. Yeah, because I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, my baby done gone away and left me. My baby done gone. Oh, I don't know why she left me, but this one thing I know. I know that if my baby tells me that she'll come back home, I'll never, never do it no more, yeah, because I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, I'm in a sad mood. I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, my baby done gone away and left me. My baby done gone, yeah. Done gone away and left me. My baby done gone. I'm in a sad mood tonight. Oh, I'm in a sad mood tonight. She got me in a sad mood.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Mr. Sam Cook. I'm in a sad mood tonight. And Sammy Youssef earlier. Welcome to an awesome day here and in the beautiful town of Honolulu. Not Honolulu, but the Honolulu. And by the way, the number has changed to the studios at 808-888-5204. That's 888-5204 if you want to call in as we chat here on K108, and we'll see what we can talk about. And I say Honolulu because I was just looking back at some of the things that and that's not to be disrespectful of Honolulu, but Honolulu. And Honolulu seem to be a refuge for lying politicians and people that can't keep their promise and make great promises. But the funny thing is that you figure like Kakaako, as you remember, I tried to share with you the concerns that the city bought a big boat and the state and all of those guys are going to donate it. Well, the city didn't buy it. We're going to donate it to the city. But found out that was a lie, and HCDA couldn't donate it to the city. And so, but it was going to be used for the public so that to rescue the public at Kakaako and other parks, possibly if they got in trouble while swimming and sunning themselves. And but you know what happens now. Now that they're going to close the entire park, so the public is not going to be able to go there. So what the heck do they need a boat for? You know, you get the drift. And on that, now this is just mere suspicion. Let me see here. I got an impatient caller here. Let me answer that, and we'll get right back. Caller, go ahead with your comments.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Carol?
Oh, not much. What you got for me?
Well, actually, I was just calling you to say hello. You know, they got...
Okay, I wish people would contain their kids, but, you know, I guess it's the village's responsibility to raise kids. I somehow they accept half of the philosophy, but not the other half. But anyway, this honolilai that we see so often, we have politicians who tell you, "Well, you vote for me, and I'm going to get in, and I'm going to be the congressperson. I'm going to stay there, and I'm going to fight because we need seniority in Congress. We cannot afford to have junior people." And so what happened to that post? Oh, I decided to leave that post midterm and go and run for another office. And, you know, you pick up the paper and you just learned the state has a child protective protection service. And you read the paper and you think, oh, they're doing a good job. And so the newspaper star advertises another title. New documents further illuminate state system that fail abused boy. One big lie, folks, constantly. And it's scary. Rail plan sent to FTA after a year of delay. Right? Sewage plant expansion awaits final okay. We should have had sewage plants, treatment plants already up because the consent decree that was required of the Honolulu process should have been done long time ago. Revitalizing Mayor Wright homes could cost $1 billion. Yet we have these nonprofit groups that are so involved with the mayor and his beckoning call, and the director there, Mr. Hakeem Kwansafi. You know, this thing is something. The bottom's coming out of it. It's just one continuous promise, and give us more money. And if we had a grant, and we had this, and we learned that block grants are not being spent. And when someone wants to challenge this. This inept process of politicians. House Majority Leader ousted over rail vote. How about that? These are just a few titles. Parks to be off limits. This is an all-star advertisers thing. And then HPD major leader endorsements among final chiefs, right? Retired HPD. Well, and now we have a situation presenting itself where the selection committee or Mr. Farm or Mr. Whatever, I can't think of his name now, I will in a minute, but he is now revealing he's the cousin of Mr. IU and through marriage or what have you. What point do we accept this? What point do we say, okay, we think that you had a conflict up until this moment, but you understand there is something terribly wrong with this town, and it's not just bad politics. It's just bad people. And they seem to have little or no shame to operate and do what they do repeatedly. And, you know, I don't know what the solution is, but I think that what happens is that most of us out here, we disagree with what's going on, but what is our solution? What is our answers? We vote for politicians. They become enamored with whatever it is, the protection. You turn to the agencies that would hold them accountable, and they don't hold them accountable. So I don't really know where this is going, to be honest with you. It's you might be optimistic, and it's one thing to be optimistic than to just be foolhardy and to accept it and think that it's going to fix itself. Or never mind, we don't have to bother with it. But this Kaka'ako closure, here are my suspicions. And I'm always thinking in a portion of my mind, brain uses spent on this kind of thinking, and that is, we've seen that we can't really trust them from earlier statements and earlier behavior and practices. So what happens, and it lends itself to, well, keep one eye open. You know, keep an eye on these guys. So here's what I'm thinking. Now, if this major development is going to take place there in Kaka'ako, now the Ward Center, Ward Warehouse, or whatever they call it, and the what is his name? In the big company that got the lease and got the agreement to Howard Hughes. Now, where in that area at Kaka'ako, if they're going to start building high rises and major modification, alteration of that landscape and all of that, where do they place and where do they stage their equipment? You see, is it going to be there in town, or is it Ward Center going to be enough room for them? Because this is a major undertaking. And if that's the case, you're going to be dredging and you're going to be putting new piers and what have you from so you could use the harbor Kiwala Basin that Neil Abercrombie gave away. So, and Dave Ige is also supporting that. So where are they going to stage? Where are they going to put all of the equipment and all of the materials and things of that nature? Kaka'ako seems to be a likely place. And I believe that it's a ruse to close it down because it's some $500,000 damage to the area. I don't buy that. I believe that, once again, here in the Honolulu mindset, is that the Kaka'ako, Point Panic, and those areas in that general area will lend itself to a staging ground where they can store, because these are massive trucks going to be bringing in cement and all of that and rebar and railings. Now, I might be completely wrong, but the big question is, why would our city and state officials allow this park to go into such ruins and not take any action? Wouldn't it have been cheaper to fix and repair as we day-to-day basis? Instead, you let it accumulate, and, you know, I kind of suspected a lot of this was going to play out because when they started to, the old bus, the city yard, maintenance yard there, which is highly contaminated, Kaka'ako Park, highly contaminated, and with limited kind of activity on it, as I pointed out to you, that those gas vents there, that's an old dump. And with the closed dump, there's limited activity that are regulated that you're allowed to do, or what practices you're allowed to undertake on closed landfills. So I think, in my heart of hearts, I believe that what you see here is the state and the city is complicit in taking Kaka'ako out of the place so that it could be used as a staging ground. And, well, you know, if it's closed and people not using it, why not go ahead and let it be used as a staging ground for the construction and the piping and all of that equipment and dredging and the cranes that are going to be needed and all of that. So it's if it's not true, then good on them. If it is true, shame on them. But this is what we're dealing with in this city and this state. And I know I on occasion, boy, you're really hard on those guys, but not really. I'm not even making a dent or scratching the surface of these things that present themselves and overtly is done through manipulation and whatever. Are the things that are taking place that we don't know? You know, the sinkhole there at Ala Moana that is still evident. Now, remember now, just a while back, they had the same sinkhole. And they were putting sewage there. And remember the Ala Moana Boulevard, Atkinson Waikiki sewage spill that flooded through the park there and undermined some of the pipes and broke some of the pipes and you name it. And again, they're repairing. So if you have any comments, 888-5204, 888-5204, I can pick you up there. So anyway, that's talking about that. And earlier today or yesterday, I was thinking, let me ask you, this: we talk about this flag, and we see that Mr. Pence, Vice President Pence, went to the stadium there with the Indianapolis Colts. And I mean, how much more can you stage something? Now all of a sudden they own the Pence and Trump owns the flag, the soldiers. And so that reminded me of something. Can now, if you think that you're protesting against the flag or protesting against cops shooting people or whatever it is, that you cannot do that because you're offending the military, our soldiers, and our flag. What if the soldiers were doing something wrong? Would we remember the Vietnam War when people were protesting? Does that now mean the rule of the game is that Americans can't protest the military? Is it a sacred entity? And then the military should ask itself, wait, we are in existence because we're a free nation and we're the nation that defends our rights and our. And so if someone wants to speak out and protest, that would be their right as afforded under the Constitution. So it's a very dangerous game here. We're playing. We on one hand, the guys that are suspect in many bad behavior activities that are, in my opinion, based on what I see, someone should be calling them treasoners or whatever, you know, people that have committed treason or these activities. And I know that many of you out there are going to say, well, you know, that's the liberal side. Well, that's fine. Then you deal with the liberals. But me as an independent person, I'm seeing something wrong here. And I'm saying that how is it that the very suspects, and they are suspects, could go and grab the flag and grab the military. And by the way, I think we're quite close to being a military state now. We haven't declared martial law, but look at this collection of people that are in government. In the cabinet there, several generals. And so you have to ask yourself, just how close are we to the edge of becoming a complete militaristic, military governed nation now? And I know that's probably, many of you will say that's stretching it, and I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but it's an opinion, it's an observation, take it or leave it. And that is something that worries me, because if you're saying now that at what point and who is it that we go and get authorization from to gauge, to assess if this is this objection that we may display as public people, as free citizens, how close of a line do we come and before it becomes subject to your definition? That it's disrespecting the flag. So there's a very loose parameters there, pliable, malleable, and can be shaped in due to the emotional impacts. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, you're so close, Carol. Do it. Tell them we're getting colonized by aliens as well.
Okay. and who else?
You name it.
Yeah,
it's that hand, the unseen hand, or what do they call that?
The unseen hand, the blind eye, the unseen hand. I don't know what you're referencing.
And in economics or in American manifest destiny, there's this unseen hand. Or
okay.
There's also a lot of divine providence mixed in.
Yeah. Well, this is, it's kind of scary, and to see, it's one thing to say that Trump is a bad person, but all of these that we're willing to tolerate, I mean, there should be a defined line. We thought we had one, but we're losing that clarity, because when Mike Pence can go and be actively involved in diminishing rights for women and lesbian and gays and minorities and lifting the ban on and unwilling to prosecute or investigate civil rights violations, I get a little worried. And when
you said police state. You said police state.
He said,
you're wondering about this police. You said you were wondering about this, but we are near the police state. Or
no, military. I think we're far beyond that.
We're a military state. Oh my goodness.
No,
who's the devil anymore?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I believe that it's disrespectful to call someone out on their religion, on their commitment to the American flag, their love for the nation. That unless that person is committing some violent act against it, and then just speaking out, exercising their rights, if we think that skinheads have the right to protest and speak out, then what about a guy with an afro? He doesn't have any rights?
I think John Kennedy probably pulled the best tricks in the world. He's like, don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And don't ask what the aliens can do for you. Ask what you can do for the aliens.
Well, I think you might be kind of close on the aliens, because they're sucking the life out of our nation here. With all of this fool duggery, skullduggery,
and then lying. That's the corporations doing that stuff, serving their board of directors and getting Fox all juiced up. And, man, everything else is a fire sale.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the solution is, but I'm thinking an alarm clock should go off to say, America, wake up. Abandon this partisan politics, because it's costly and it's a... get down the road so far, it's hard to return to the center line. It's hard to become civil. It becomes a violent aggression that people will subject us to.
Pope is getting close. He's trying to teach us self-sufficiency, and for a regular person stuck in the urban center, they can do square foot gardening, make chicken wire and burlap flower bowls or whatever, gardening pots. And they grow their vegetables there in a square foot or a circle, whatever suits their fancy.
Mm-hmm. But
some self-sufficiency and some, I don't know.
How
do you want to carry the Second Amendment? How much self-protection do you need? More than a shovel and a hoe?
Well, I think we need just people to back off and observe that and respect it. And every week interpreting what we should do. And I as well, I look at the... and you can probably offer insight into this. This thing with the guns and the gun control. And I'm so sick and tired of seeing Hillary Clinton. I mean, you know, if you lose an election and you lose, just I don't care how you lost. Either stand up and take on Trump and take the action. But she has to, on her way out of the door, she's on talking about her book. And we're in a crisis right now. And I was watching her.
We who, America?
America. And I was watching her.
It's all whistles. What kind of crisis is we in?
What kind of crisis?
Yeah.
Well, you have a...
Is every air base we have somewhere on red alert or something?
Well, you wouldn't know.
God.
First of all, you wouldn't know. Number two, we have a situation where Hillary Clinton should just stay out of this. She lost, unless she can come back and give some specifics. Stay out of it, but no, gun control. Let me ask you this. Is there any need that we stop focusing on the gun and then start focusing on what are the things that we're doing as a nation that is driving these people that are potentially, they may be just one act away from triggering a violent act in them? Are we...
That unseen hand was so busy with that Las Vegas shooting, mm-hmm. nobody knows which end is up anymore.
So would it be sufficient to say that an action or an aggressive action to look at what's causing it, what's the human elements or human factors that's causing these things, not the actual gun itself, people that have mental problems or the mental need treatment. Many of them out on the streets now because the state, for example, don't want to pay for it, and they say it's their right to be free. But if you have a person that's ill, then shouldn't you kind of guard that person? And then also, let's look at the courts. I've noted that a number of these so-called shootings or mass killings, somewhere in the record, this person has had a reaction or involvement with a case, a court case. Should we look at all of these things and figure out, has our court system become so compromised that people can't turn to justice and get a fair assessment, that the system has been tricked or done in a way that it's where it comes out for the business and the ruling of the government? Just ask.
Yeah, I think they want them at both ends.
Yeah.
They want efficiency over here to take care of big problems which never get resolved. And then on the other side, there just seems to be a disaster economy, a disaster profiteer, a disaster complex that just loves profiteering off of the messes they leave behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, these are things that I think unless we start to address those and go back and look... I'm not making excuse for violent acts, but we better damn well start looking at all aspects of it than to just one takes place or occur. Are we going to ban all cars or restrict them to driving 15 miles an hour because cars now have been used in killing people? What about Timothy McVeigh? They remember when he used the fertilizer bombs and what happened? Many people dead, and they said, we're going to control the fertilizer. Well, we need to figure out what's driving these people to the point where they want to commit violent acts against people, against the government.
Oh, man, come on. How do you answer a question like this? What makes a person go like one way to a pirate and another person go some way to be like an anarchist?
Yeah, well... I think
pirates, you know, they kind of bury their loot and having a good time. An anarchist is just really mad at something.
Mm-hmm. So what would happen with Paul Revere? Would he have been, said, well, hey, England was ruling us and had power over us, and the British are coming, the British are coming. How dare you disrespect the British?
That sounds like a kettle call on the pot black story over and over and over and over and over and over again in history.
Yeah.
The first city was Inanna, and then the second was ISIS or something. I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, it sounds like gibberish, but my problem is looking at this, and it's the same, and we don't get anywhere. It's the same thing. They're getting bigger and worse, and we don't need to be living in a free country or any country where there's feeling like you're going to experience a terroristic act or an act of violence, right? And
that's the weird part of the modern world. Somebody can just pop out of anywhere. There's State Department's hiring people, private air forces now. Just because they'll paste everything with bullets and bombs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what? This is just what happens in the civilian world. The things that have not been reported that have probably been paid for by your tax dollars somehow, or just, gosh, beyond science fiction. You know, science fact is way beyond science fiction sometimes.
Yeah.
But truth is way beyond reality.
Yeah.
Truth is so far stranger than fiction at times.
Well, I think that unless we'll never get to the bottom of it. We can build more metal detectors. We can build more trained guys that detect whatever. But there's always someone in their minds willing to spend time and exhaust their brain cells on how to harm people. And we need to be able to look at that rather than trying to look if he got 10 bags filled with guns. Let's look at him as, I got an echo here, Curtis.
It's worse harm people. I was reading on a Facebook about a doctor that did rounds in hospitals in that area near Las Vegas, and they're all just walking around there feeling like hopelessness has set in, helplessness has set in, hopelessness has set in, helplessness has set in. But the doctor knew the patients were more scared, so he went in and did the best he could. But even up to the level of a doctor, he's just like rang a bell. There's some force out there that wants to ring bells in people's heads. And, like, North Korea's off the table. The Affordable Care Act is off the table. And then who knows how loud this is going to be about this Las Vegas shooting, but something was put in place. So I've even heard people go as far as say that there was one, it's just like a Mission Impossible operation. Somebody broke into a person's room, continued to do their destruction, and then took out and or left behind the body, and they were never detected. But there was a real complete package out done.
You're talking about
impossible.
This recent shooting?
Yeah.
I feel
like a complete Mission Impossible deal.
Yeah, well, I'll let that one, when it presents itself with facts, and I would mull over it. But for right now, I think that what I would be concerned with is that we seem to just focus on the bomb stop. There's people have been calling the state and complaining about automatic weapons fire being at a firing range in Wahiawa repeatedly. And that they were using bomb stop at that time, and it was quite legal. So, you know, now all of a sudden there's an uproar. It's for everything that's out there, someone is going to, I'll use the term aftermarket. Someone is innovating, right? Because it may have a legitimate reason to modify something or to build something that would complement that. But when you're building something to shoot an automatic weapon, you automatically or should be suspect. Because I don't know.
Yeah, let's start with suspecting every military that's ever been created since the beginning of time and ask my God today, hey, boys, listen to me. He'll kick their butt.
Well, it is shown that we need a military. I mean, you could be the most docile nation on the planet, and eventually someone will show up at your borders or your doorstep wanting your resources or want something from you or want to just take you out. I mean, that's unfortunate. That's human nature. That's apparently.
Yeah, who we having for dinner tonight? Genghis Khan, huh?
Yeah. But but anyway, I just hope that and this isn't about gun control and all. I think that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats who say that they for gun control start looking at controlling people and providing people health care and be more aggressive about it. You know, run to the TV stations and complain, well, you know, the Republicans, they want to take it away from you. Well, damn it, you were in and you didn't do anything. You built this rule, and it wasn't the perfect rule. You should have been aggressive enough, and you should never tolerate where cities and other state governments take federal monies, don't use it or misuse it. That's, you know, could be used for medical care or mental health care or whatever. Having educational facilities for people to manage their mental illnesses. I don't know. Or medication or something.
Yeah, there's some kind of pyramid called Maslow's pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
Gun control, man. It'd be nice to just do without them.
Well,
seriously. Otherwise, you just need to rest, and eat, and contribute somehow.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to suggest that I know what I'm talking about with this, but I do know one observation is that every time one of these occur, they never say, well, what are we doing wrong? What is it that we can do right not to ban the guns, you know?
This is a singularity. It is a one-off. One of these things happens. How do you predict an earthquake, a volcano, or some? Well, I don't know, just how are you going to predict the next monster that takes it to the next level? Just predict the masses involved and try to calculate for them somehow outside of
the art of and the benefit of, you know, you can't predict an earthquake. Maybe you can with certain technologies that's being developed. But you know that the damages that an earthquake can cause. So what you do is prepare or prevent or do not authorize or allow certain buildings to be placed and be built a certain way, and you have certain codes that you think will, and you're anticipating the damage that you've seen before to try to work around that to mitigate that. So you're not predicting an earthquake, but you're preparing and you're trying to prevent with caution. So that's the same thing with people. If you find people with these problems that may likely be, I mean, I don't know, they say background check, you can get a cadre of a full force of people to go around and interview everybody.
Yeah. And I don't know, with gun control, let me just snap one with you here. Just follow the colonizers. Like, you want to follow the money, follow the colonizers in gun control.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they control the guns here at the colonizers.
Well, I would suggest that anybody want to know about gun control, go to and look at Elaine, Arkansas, and look at Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then get back to me on that and about the mass killings. That's why when you hear them now, they say in modern times, mass killings, when thousands of blacks were gunned down in Elaine, Arkansas, because they wanted to, it was about, you know, the...
That's a big number, 1,000.
1928. And then Tulsa.
Indians.
Right, well, but again, you know, so the whole thing is it's everybody's careful to carry their eggs in this basket and speak lightly and softly, but they're not really wanting to address the real issues. Some of the...
Yeah.
Remember the postal shootings?
No, but I'll say let's start with some tone control.
Yeah, that would be good too. Show some compassion.
I heard about going postal got a whole genre of, maybe it's even in the dictionary now, going postal.
Yeah, well, but again, many of the stories and cases that came out of that were disgruntled or people that had felt they'd gotten a short end of a stick in the judicial system or the EEO system or whatever, or the labor board or. And who say that these boards are not tainted? Who knows what pisses people off that push them over the edge? Who knows? But we don't want to know that. See, we leave.
That's where I pulled my parachute out. You said the right word, people. Just treat people like people.
Right.
The best you can treat them the way you can treat yourself.
And always anticipate that there's somebody that's going to be different. And allow for that, and then monitor for that. And there are signals out there that tell people how violent can act.
What happens when one of these aliens flip out with their ray guns, man?
Well, I don't know, but I can tell you what happened when they pick you up and take you on their spaceship.
Well, that abducted by aliens sounds a bit safer than I'm abducted by an ambulance into Queens or something.
Yeah, I was once living in paradise, and then one picked me up and dropped me off in Mississippi. I still don't know what I did wrong.
My friend, as the rooster crows, I'll let you go.
All right.
And be glad to hear where your show goes, but the gun control issue, come on. It's all the way up to aliens with ray guns and people with acid and sticks around their corners. It's just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting smarter somehow.
Well, we're going to talk about some other things and later on in the next hour. We have a new number, 888-5204, for the Carol Cox Show. And
it rolls over.
Yeah, it rolls over, but who cares about that? You just want someone to answer.
Okay, Carol.
Doesn't matter.
I'm shaking it up a little bit.
Okay, thank you. Bye. Yeah, I don't suspect many of you will understand this where I'm tossing out there, but again, I think there's so much we're teetering on. I think we don't believe that anything really drastic can happen here, like the democratic process can be turned on its head completely. You see, we're kidding ourselves. All we need is Donald Trump and a couple more elements of this behavior with this, the Attorney General. You know, you ask yourself, is it Mr. Sessions such a great man and understanding that he would tolerate public ridicule by the President of the United States and all of that and just stand there? Would you ask yourself that without being humiliated? And or are you sold to and committed to your ways of being wanting to involve yourself in the lives of women and other people and what have you, and writing law and depriving people and not supporting voting rights and all of that? You might be inclined to stay with the president and forgive him for all those things as long as you're able to carry out your, you know, your wishes. And that, we've seen what Mr. Sessions wants. We know what he wants. And so, quite naturally, would you resign? Hey, Mr. President, I'm yours. I'm your pincushion. Just anytime you want to assault me and insult me, as long as I have the right to stick it to the people, I'm happy with that. And we don't have to be worried about the rights of the people. And that's what we have here. And I am truly concerned with America and its health and the welfare of the people, because this is not a natural process. This is too many strings being pulled, ask the question, did Mr. Pence have to go to see that game? And did he go there knowing that he would walk out and champion that cause? When we have other things of greater importance and greater concern, and how much did we spend on taxpayers' money to have him to go to the arena with the Colts so that he could say to the people that are following him that he's trying to impress, see, I put him in that place. I'm Mike Pence. I'm Pence. I put him in, like the president. We're a team. How much money did we spend in security and Secret Service people and all of that for him to go out and make a statement? We got the message, but will we get the benefits that he gets? And so I think that these investigations and things are playing out. I think the FBI is going to be successful. I think that the intelligence agency is going to be successful. I believe that the Congress, even though there's some tricks being played and all, but I think they're going to all, when it fleshes out everything, I think we'll see America standing tall. It's kind of good that it happened, because it lets us see that how vulnerable we are and how maybe we need to patch some holes and maybe we need to rethink or look at other laws that exist when it comes to politics and politicians. And maybe it'll give us some reason to ask our representatives, our Congress and our senators, cut the duff and quit being so political and partisan. And let's get down to the real nitty-gritty here. But anyway, that's enough of that. But I don't know what else to tell you. And we'll be back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show, and I will be talking a little bit about the Monk Seal and some DLNR and things of that nature. As you know, I talked to you about Dan Dennison, the public relations person, senior communications manager who works for DLNR, and apparently the governor, nor Dan, nor Suzanne Case, his boss, I believe that he should be required to answer questions that we have asked him, but we're going to ask those questions again, and we're going to ask the governor, should the Department of Land and Natural Resources or the state government be a refuge for people that have a record that have displayed or been behaving that's consistent with bigotry, hating women or harassing women, hating minorities or harassing minorities. Do we have that kind of room for these suspected behaviors or behaviors that have been put out there and you feel that, and we're going to ask this and ask him to ask these questions, who gets hired? And if you have a history of issues with dealing with people and you've been demoted from jobs and what have you, then we're going to ask the governor, should that be allowed? Can a person behave in a way and be able to walk out from an old job and involved or invoke the state agencies and the state property and wearing a uniform to talk about matters that took place in their prior employment? But we'll be asking those questions, and we'll be back. This is the Carol Cox Show. We'll see you shortly.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Just hear your call.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Phone number here is 888-5204. If you've got any comments or questions or whatever, call in if you'd like to. I'd like to hear from you. But, you know, there is this recent development. We're still waiting on the governor to announce whether he's going to sign the modification or amendments to the boating and recreation rules or the administrative rules. And we haven't heard anything, and that proposal was to be allowed to kill cats at harbors and any other jurisdiction under the harbors division. And these are abandoned cats where you and I, sometimes how we get irresponsible, act irresponsibly, and we dump our cats, and it becomes other people's problem. And of course, as always, and rightfully so, we don't believe that inhumane treatment of anything should be allowed, especially at the hands of the government, when in fact the government should be taking measures to prevent this and not allowing people to accumulate cats or dump them and hold them and punish them if they are found to be doing that and being responsible. But to get this thing in motion, there's been a number of representations by the National Marine Fisheries Service and its contractors and the DLNR, you know. And I believe, let me be clear and be emphatic, I don't believe cats belong in the wild. That's my belief. But I also don't believe that we should have allowed them to be propagating, doing nothing, absolutely nothing, and then all of a sudden people are helping the animals, trying to mitigate this problem, and you demonize them. So that's just wrong. And so therefore, and the prescribed way of treating this is inhumane and cruel. So you have an adversary in me. And therefore, you need to do something and then stop the lying and the misrepresentation, because you are scientists, and don't use a portion of the science and ignore the rest of the science and to elevate or to move your objective, your agenda, so to speak. And then the representation that cats and their feces causes and transmits the toxoplasmosis to the monk seals. And as last week I told you, Mr. Watson Okubo, who's now retired, worked at this Clean Water Branch. And this is why I'm inclined to say no allowing of the shooting of these animals, no allowance for inhumane treatment in the management of these animals, and the government should be supportive of the cat givers or feeders and what have you, because you're never going to kill them all anyway, so why should we engage in inhumane practices? So Watson Okubo introduces us, and he was there at the Clean Water Branch for 40 years, folks. And he shared an overview paper that you may have seen some portion of his appearance on KGMB, Hawaii News Now. And I thank him for sharing this with me. This is an overview, and where he states that Clean Water Branch helped fund a novel study. Quote, the use of passive membrane samplers to assess organic contaminant loadings and sustained coastal groundwater discharge, Kahikili, Maui, Hawaii. A total of 17 compounds. Listen to this now. A total of 17 compounds, pharmaceuticals, and personal care products were found using passive samplers at 5 underwater sites along the West Maui. A draft report has been completed, and more work should be done to look into this monitoring approach. The constant discharge of pharmaceuticals and wastewater compounds, some of which are endocrines, disrupting compounds and may be toxic to coral, presents a clear danger signal. Anecdotal evidence shows less diversity of fauna and flora in our coastal waters. Schools of manini were common along the shorelines. Juvenile mullet could be seen fleeing and jumping in the water, pursued by papil. And nahu was abundant in Pearl Harbor and Kaneohe Bay, but not anymore. Edible limu, ogo, waiwaoli, limu kohu, etc., and other limu have disappeared in large areas. Is this due to overfishing, harvesting? I don't think so. So, there are some major concerns when the feds come out, NOAA comes out, and its contractors come out and gives this bogus, unfounded statement and not looking at all of the issues. And so, we know that some of these elements are suspected in enlarging organs and species, or even humans, or fish, or changing the sex of the fish. And so that may be impacting the reproduction of fish. And if you're seeing a substantial decrease in fish, which would become food fish for the monk seal, maybe the monk seal is starving to death and rendering it weak enough that it would be. But he goes on, Watson goes on to say, while sewage spills and animal waste, get that now, animal waste, and silty stormwater runoff are very visual and are smelly. They are just temporary events that nature takes care of. Not so with pharmaceuticals and wastewater compounds. Understand that? Nature has difficulty with chemicals, especially the synthetic chemicals that day after day, month after month, year after year, continue to discharge into our nearshore waters. Their effects are only beginning to be understood. But some of these chemicals are naturally occurring. For example, tribromomethane, commonly known as bromoform, is a disinfection byproduct. When chlorine is added to kill bacteria in drinking water and swimming pools, this persistent chemical is also naturally produced by phytoplankton and marine algae, especially the locally known limu kohu. So this is not a simple task, but one that needs to be addressed. This is the emerging challenge for Hawaii. That's not my words. That's not an activist's words. That's an expert who had 40 years of influence, enforcing and investigating and participating and being a recipient of studies. Now, one thing I do see in here, and I really appreciated him sharing this with us, because you see it mentioned a study that has been completed and it's in draft form. That is what's plaguing the people of the state of Hawaii. It is that practice where a study is given, conducted, public monies are used, whether it's federal or state monies or city monies, taxes. They complete the study. They labeled it as a draft, and so therefore you and I will not have access to that draft. So when you get someone like the Department of NOAA, National Marine Fisheries Service, or you get a Suzanne Case who's hell-bent on killing anything that doesn't look like it belongs under her list of the... Apparently she has a list where, and an ark somewhere, that only the animals that she wants to get on board is she deemed necessary or should be allowed on board. The rest of it, kill it. And we don't have enough bullets to kill the imported species, the alien species, that agencies like her agency is responsible for introducing. You know, one controls the other, and the deer, the sheep, the pig, the goats, you know, and the birds that she is responsible for managing and making sure that the hunters have the adequate hunting, you know, animals to hunt. Because, you know, they are selling licenses and requiring people to get certification for hunting safety. So this is all about revenue. So why should the animals suffer? Why should the cats, in this instance, be the suffer the brunt of this poor management? And then, in order to get that, you go and you create a lie, you manufacture a lie. Well, the toxoplasmosis is killing. And here with the health department, who the Clean Water Branch, and who is responsible for looking at all of this, is saying, look what is causing this problem. We're seeing the species of fish. They didn't say that toxoplasmosis get in the fish, and they who in the manini, in the papil, or in the mullet, and causing the decline in that, which is food stock for some of the monk seals and other species. So we lend ourselves to this big lie. And again, hopefully the governor, as I've seen on my Facebook account, some very harsh remarks and some concerned citizens speaking out that if the governor signs this, then the governor might as well get a new job. This is what many people are saying to me, and they've written it. You can go to Carol Cox and Facebook and look at it in some of the old postings. But I hope it does not come to that. And I don't know. Every day you want to give Mr. Ige the respect that he's due and is in the position of governor. But for example, let me just share with you. I just had an experience that if you look, there was a gathering at Olelo, the public TV, and apparently it had to do with educational department. So Olelo, and I'm really a little perturbed with the people at Olelo now. It's becoming clear now that they are people that are there with special interests, and they lend themselves to politics. I've invited them to come on my show on many occasions to talk about the benefits of Olelo and the access, and they've just blown me off. So here's my flag up the pole for all of you. When you involve me and you deprive me or you disrespect me of the basic rights that I'm entitled to as a citizen, as a taxpayer, as a consumer, we are allowed public communications and access television. So I made a reservation. There was a young man who approached me when I was there to drop off a tape for the showing. Asked me, he recognized me, and he said, would you interview me? And I said, yes, I would. I'd be happy to. So I made a reservation to interview him in this mini studio. Well, I returned on the day that I had scheduled this, and I'm looked at as if I had sticks in my forehead. And then it also must have had a sticker that said, you're also dumb. But I just don't want to be upset or crazy about anything. And I stood there and listened, and I was told, well, you know, we cancel that. But you understand that the only person that can cancel this is the producer, which you're the producer, Carol. So I'm scratching my head now and thinking, well, wait, then I didn't cancel it. So we're still on. Because if I didn't cancel and the only person that could cancel is me who made the reservation, why are you lecturing me on, you know, I'm being very cool, calm, and collected. And you're citing me the rules as to who can actually cancel the show or the taping, but you know that I didn't, and I'm telling you that I did not cancel it. So you're saying, well, maybe the party that I was going to interview, well, that would be your problem. You know the rules, and you're now citing them to me that no one but me, the producer, can cancel the show or reschedule it. So I see all of this commotion, and I'm aware what was transpiring, but this is what the Olelo from top to bottom, Olelo staff there is lending itself to this kind of behavior. So if you are having problems out there, I respect them. The facility is really, it's in great form. But when you lend yourself to this kind of petty nonsense and it crosses over the line of, do I have public access or I'm at your beckoning call or at your discretion because you're being political. And so this being political, what I knew was just not all the details when going in there, was that Governor Ige was participating in a forum. I'll get the name of it, but many of the people there were the Department of Education. So here they've gotten together and denied me, the community person who have access to that, nothing to do with that show or what they had planned, and they've committed the staff to this thing for the governor. And I'm appalled that the governor would lend himself to that and deny, and using this for a political platform, Olelo, and then the people that would have been running the studio for me is inside the function where the governor is. So meantime, it was unfair, it was disrespectful to me and to other community people that come in and use it. You can be mad at me if you want to. We can take that up at another time. You can frown at me if you like to, but this is public communication. When you start to act as if you're above that, then it becomes a whole different relationship. And I will be able still to put my shows on whether you like it or not, and don't interfere, but I am simply appalled that someone would remind me that what the rules are, but I didn't break the rules, but they broke the rules, but they broke the rules to favor the governor and the political stance. So, Olelo, you have misplaced your public trust. The management there, when you lend yourself to stacking the cards for, and I know this is about politics, but Olelo should not be part of politics. We should be in a community setting. We have the right to do this because of the agreement between the provider and user of the PUC. But again, I think what I see now, they've gotten too big for their britches in disrespecting the public. And so we're going to be taking some looks at this because, you know, it's one thing for a year and a half to beg them, hey, why don't you come in and let's talk about the good things at Olelo and what have you. And they, oh, yeah, yeah, hey, how you doing, man? How you doing? That okie dokie. But when it comes to presenting and providing the public the right, so I rely on Olelo to put out various shows to talk about various subjects. But going back to the problem is that when you sandwich me between politics and my pure rights to have something, that's different. If you said, well, you know, the studio, we're going to be painting or we're spraying for cockroaches or pests like you, we're going to have it shut down for a couple of days. We have to cancel. That's understood. That's understandable. But when you quietly putting together this forum for the governor, to entertain the governor and the politics, then you have overstepped your bounds and not, you've exceeded your purpose. And that's wrong. And I don't believe that's ethical, because if you are kowtowing to a Democratic candidate, then if you're going to lend yourself to politics, then you should, in fact, lend yourself to all the politicians and say the hell with the public, the general public who has access. But I'm really concerned now that this thing has really After seeing that and experiencing that, I don't know how to express it in any other way. You're right to be able to produce whatever you want to, but the governor should never have lent himself to that. And I'm just lost for words to. And I called and went visit there to speak with them directly. And left a message, and I didn't get a call returned to me. So that's the Olelo matter. But again, I rely on that, that with communication with the public. And it's a great resource. And I don't want to see it squandered by people that think now that they have gotten into the politics of it. And what I'm hearing, I've heard from a couple of other people that say that Olelo is focusing now on government functions or matters, big productions. And so if they're committed to doing big productions, we're going to see some weaning or some reduction because they don't have the staff to fully provide services to the general public and do these major productions. So my hat's off to you if you think you can do the productions, but also giving equal time or the fair time to the regular or just the basic community-minded producers. That's fine. But I would beg that you don't do it in a way that is so disrespectful, and then when we come in and schedule to have a taping, there's some kind of long, drawn-out craziness about it that, you know, they don't even understand it. It's so convoluted the way they explain it. So, again, some would say at the risk of running a good relationship, there is no good relationship when you have the trust of the people and you're entrusted with managing and overseeing that. We don't have to kiss your hand or your ring to do that. We have to be respectful of you and respectable, but don't carry it too far that you think that we have to bow down to you while you administer public resources. So I'm just completely, and so the issue is now this person that wanted me to do the filming. I get this lecture, but well, you know, he's almost a family to Olelo. He's been here working, and that's not my concern. My concern is someone asked me, and I agreed to do that, and that I don't want that interfered with. So that's what's happening with the Olelo. It went down a different lane there, but. In this, going back to watching Okubo, the overview, and this was something, I'm going to actually go and put this on Olelo, do an actual show with some things, that's why I got to talking about this Olelo bit. But I think it has a great message, and it gives us, the public, an insight, the taxpayer, an insight, what is really going on. And so, in watching Okubo's overview as he exiting the door, retiring, he has retired now. He states that the threat to Hawaii's coastal water is not the wastewater effluent outfall several miles offshore and several hundred feet deep. The threat is closer to home. Periodic sewage spills, high indicator bacteria counts, animal waste discharge, and silt-laden stormwater runoff are all temporary events that nature cleans up in several days. The threat to Hawaii's coastal waters and the unseen pollution that goes on 24/7, pharmaceuticals, wastewater compounds, and personal care products all make their way to our coastal waters and streams. from cesspools, effluent injection wells, and improper urinating and defecating practices by way of groundwater flow path. That means that septic tanks and all of those cesspools, when they overfill and overrun or crack or break, they in turn, the leach fields, they in turn find their way to the ocean. And so what happened? Working with the U.S. Geological Survey Pacific Island Wastewater Science Center, we have documented persistent wastewater and pharmaceutical indicators being discharged from submarine seeps into coastal waters. U.S. Geological Survey Pacific Island Wastewater Science Center, since 2006, the Clean Water Branch has been working with USGS on the development of a multi-tracer approach to detecting wastewater nutrient source tracking of Kualoa and Kahana Oahu. Other clean water funded studies followed at Kona, Kealakehe, Maui, Kihei, Lahaina, Black Rock, Ukumehame, and Kauai, Waiopili, Poipu, 29 beaches. A Kahalu'u Oahu study will take place later this year, and a border water supply funding study was done on Oahu, Wahiwa. All these things I share with you so that you can, if you're interested, ask the health department for these records. Clean Water Branch and the USGS, in joint funding agreement, will publish a report that documents the tiered strategy, field measurement methods, and traces of the source tracking approach by key lessons learned from previous case studies, including the importance of considering all possible contaminants sources as well as investigating the settling and relevant conditions of the area. And folks, this report represents a source tracking toolbox for Clean Water Branch. A draft report is scheduled for February 28, 2018, with publication set in November 2018. So I'm offering this because it seems like if this is of concern in the Clean Water Branch of the experts, not us activists now, not, you know, we're going to bow down to this document and say that NOAA took Dr. Jill Volks and others and was critical of them about the toxoplasmosis and what have you, and we want to focus on that. And so what you do is discredit the bearer of this information. So, you know, you go at them and no, you don't know what you're talking about and what have you. And the reality is there's many factors. The depletion of the fish populations and all of that, and the chemicals and contaminants that are in the water. And so they want you to think, they being NOAA, want you, and Suzanne Case, want you to think that this is about cats and monk seals and the monk seals being contaminated by the cats. When you just heard this document, and I'll post this entire document up later on at carolcox.com. So, absolutely, there's nothing like a group of people earning a handsome salary that throws themselves in the path of a bust to keep you from getting the truth and mislead you. And so, it's... I don't know where they come from. Like the earlier caller said, maybe the aliens. Because they don't think that we can read. They don't think that we might know someone that can read. Or they don't think that we are intelligent more so than they are. But this thing with the cats, let's follow that. And let's make sure that the governor, if he was willing to lend himself to that, and it was a decision, either you sign it or don't sign it. And will you notify the people that you're going to sign it? So vets is absolutely something that you it's like the whack-a-mole. You think you go to the agency and they lie to you, and then they go and manufacture, but they rely on studies. And they'll say, but we've studied this. And you say, well, can I see the study? No, you can't see the study because it's a draft form. Wait, now, let me get this right. If you're studying it and you have studied it and you've reached conclusion and you've drawn conclusion that it, and then you say it's in draft form, then what you're saying is public record now, that what you've disclosed. Well, no, we can't release that record because, again, as I told you, it's draft, and if you, we release a draft form, in its draft form, it'll, make matters worse for or would interfere with the final product. I know it sounds stupid, but and it is dumb, but that's the explanation they give you. We can come in and cite it and say, as officials, that we've studied it, but it releasing you the actual documents that we're citing from would obstruct the progress of getting this report done. If you figure it out, let me know, because I don't think that government people should be doing drugs while on duty, because you'd have to be on drugs to just say and do things and behave that way. We will tell you what's in the report where it's beneficial to us. But we won't let you see the report because it may frustrate government function. I get it. So it's a strange thing. Now, going back to this Mr. Dan Dennison, and as it relates to, as I said, I'd be talking about it. And I did talk about it last week and the week before, but on the 3rd of this month, I actually wrote Mr. Dennison, and I'm not going to read the whole letter, and I'll post this up on the website, and I'm going to be writing the governor and asking him, and I've shared this letter with the governor's office as well. Aloha, Mr. Dennison. I recently read and reviewed several news reports in which you were interviewed regarding the tragic shooting incident that took the life of a reporter and a cameraman employed by your former employer, WDBJ. The report quotes you as a former news director as well as the person who hired and fired the gunman, Vester Flanagan, a.k.a. Bryce Williams. I also observe you were being interviewed on the grounds of the State of Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources wearing shirt with a DLNR patch that included the Rorich Chair Office, or Chair's Office. In those reports, you were identified as a Senior Communications Manager. A November 9th, 2012 letter from you to Mr. Vester Flanagan, Bryce Williams, / Bryce Williams, also known, entitled Political Activity Standards, end quote, stated that news employee must refrain from participating in active partisan politics, which includes active support of a candidate for public office, including monetary support. Now, this is puzzling, and this is the arrogance that leads me to say either you are a one true bigot, or you are just an individual who think you're bigger than the people that you work for. So, there's no in between. In my opinion, in my observation, my concerns, the way you behave, or anyone, not just Dennison, anyone that behaves in a fashion that you can be insulting. And so I would like to know, how did the wearing of a President Obama sticker by Mr. Vester Flanagan, Bryce Williams, differ from the political story news stories you produced as news director at WDBJ, featuring a citizen of Craig County dressing a statue of a monkey as President Barack Obama and calling President Obama a monkey? I have noted the video of the news story was later scrubbed from the station's website, but you posted a link to the story on your personal Facebook account that states, quote, Dan Dennison recommends an article. Shoot, I didn't mean to like the story, this story. I mean, our reporter did a good job, but I pushed the wrong button somewhere. Also posted on your Facebook page was those pictures showing the monkey statue dressed as up as President Barack Obama and a link to the news station and the caption, Catawba man says monkey statue dressed as President Obama is not blah, blah, blah. And this is, I'm just, he didn't give a complete sentence. This year's presidential election is heated, H-E-A and stop. I also have a few questions regarding your interviews regarding the Vester Flanagan Bryce Williams shooting and his employment. Considering the facts the tragic shooting occurred in the state of Virginia, did you deliberately involve the state of Hawaii in the situation by wearing your official uniform, using your official state title, and doing the interview on state property with the DLNR building in the background? When you knew it was a matter that took place in Virginia, only involved you and your former employee or employer and employee, and had nothing to do with Hawaii. Yet, Governor Ige, I'm told, this man gets paid a handsome amount of salary. And this DLNR communications office serves as a refuge to this kind of behavior, people that have demonstrated this kind of behavior. Were you authorized to grant interviews regarding this tragic incident on state property, identifying yourself in official capacity while wearing a shirt of official Department of Land and Natural Resources? If you can, were authorized, who authorized you? Isn't that funny? This young black man goes into a voting booth, stands in line, and has a sticker on his shirt that says, Obama. He is penalized or chastised or admonished for wearing that. And this is in the voting. Now, rules are rules, and I'm not going to take issue with that. But why in hell would we allow or accept what's good for the goose should be good for the gander? Where does your ethics stop? Does it start when you can use it as a weaponize it and use it against someone? And then exempt yourself from the same kind of respectable approach or laws or policies. But in this case, if you are admonishing or not found to admonish someone else for a behavior such as that, why would you involve and wear your official shirt and having nothing to do with your job? Now, and a couple of the news report statements were made and attributed to you claiming that while being escorted out of the station, Mr. Flanagan, quote, standing 5 feet away from you, threw a wooden cross to you and stated, you will be needing this, end quote. Another statement said he threw a cross at me prior to being escorted out of the building by the police. It was a little wooden cross, I recall. He basically said, you're going to need this, end quote. And another statement was made saying, when Dennison fired Flanagan for performance issues in 2013, he threw a cross at me prior to being escorted out of the building by the police. It was a little wooden cross, I recall. He basically said, you're going to need this. Yet another report claimed the shooter Flanagan pressed a wooden cross in your hand and stated, you will be needing this. So, the young man was not here to defend himself, and he committed a horrible crime, this young man, by shooting the reporter and the cameraman. Should never be condoned, not supporting him or anything, but this raises the issue. Now, at the same time now, we've been able to recover some of the court records that were filed. Now, if Dennison is a news person and he took the liberty of much of this, and he's quoted as saying, we did a thorough investigation and we didn't find anything basically that would confirm what the complainant, Mr. Vester Flanagan, is claiming, racism or hatred or whatever his claims were. We didn't find anything. Well, damn, Sam. Wouldn't you think that the average fool would know that that if you get to investigate yourself and you're accused of such heinous, crazy behavior or hatred or whatever it is you're being accused of, wouldn't you be inclined to find nothing too? I know I would. I hope never to find myself in a predicament like that where I have to prove myself. But again, this is crazy. Should we have someone working for the state agency, working for the governor, in this capacity with this kind of background? I don't know. I'm not going to be judge and jury, but it bothers me. And then there's another question I had asked. I had asked him to tell me which would be the most accurate statement. Again, he has not responded, and I asked him to respond to me by close of business on Friday because I would be discussing this on Sunday, today, and I was blown off, just blew me off. And so did Suzanne Case, and I sent her a copy of it, and so did Lisa Hiraoka at the governor's office. I got nothing. So you know how the policy works here. If I write your letter and I ask you questions and I afford you the opportunity to comment, now I'm not going to lie on you and tell lies about you, but I'm going to report what it is that I ask you, and it's up to the public to listen and make their own conclusion. So another question, did you participate in the production of or authorize a July 12, 2012 airing of the news story the Federal Communications Commission fined WDBJ $325,000 for showing explicit sexual material? Specifically, the story included a video image of a hand stroking a penis, an erect penis. The story is at issue was broadcast during news program on station WDBJ-DT, Roanoke, Virginia, at approximately 6 o'clock p.m. at a time, as stated by the FCC, at a time when children were likely to be in the viewing audience. Now, if you have a video, a news story airing about a man calling a black president a monkey and dressing up a statue of a monkey as the president, and you're the news director, and then you pull that off, you're told to pull it off for whatever the reason it was taken down. Clearly it was obnoxious, and clearly based on the number of other external and other independent news people who questioned the motive for writing and presenting and showing and airing that story about the monkey and the president, and then being fined by the FCC of that and being possibly involved in that production as news director. Then subsequent to that, you were demoted from news director to roaming reporter or whatever. And I guess that's a fall from grace or a step from grace or walking backwards and bumping your head. I don't know what it is, but it wasn't enough to, or maybe I asked the question, who vetted him? Maybe we need to ask the question, who hired him? So we're going to ask these questions, and there are many more that we have in mind, and the disparity in him. Now imagine when the news stations came about and this incident of the shooting occurred, he was all talk, granting interviews. You think this guy, it was a, for me, I would have been removed from public view. I would have had little or nothing to say, but he had all things to say. And then isn't it funny that now when he's asked from a, no one's waving his flag, so to speak, he in turn has nothing to say. Now, I don't know about you, but this, just being remotely involved in this kind of behavior or associated with it or all of that, I think that somebody allowed someone to drop the ball, and then in turn, to make matters worse. Now, I'm sure she's not a fan of me, and I can say that openly. I've had my exchanges with her, but there's Miss Deborah Ward, who has been there for a while. Absolutely professional, knows her job, been there, done her job for years. And she has to play backseat to this guy. He has is a recipient of quite a bit of kind gestures and kindness, whereas most people wouldn't be getting the second look. They probably wouldn't hire them. But I have had my 2 years prior to this, pretty much, as I've reported, I've had to tell him myself, when I make an official request for information, I've had to ask him to refrain from lecturing me and, so to speak, as they say, the whites tell blacks in the South, putting you in your place or you know your place. This is his behavior toward me. So I've had to admonish him and say, please, when I make a request, it's not an invitation for you to put me in my place, so to speak, but to just respect my rights as a requester. So apparently, as they say, and I'll use it loosely, not suggest that it's specific to him, but a leper never changes his spots. And in this beautiful place called Hawaii, multi-race based, people, the melting pot, so to speak, and we got this one little piece of vegetable that think he's different and doesn't want to be, he want to keep his old ways, then the pot's going to boil over. Something's going to happen. There's not going to be the proper mixture. We cannot afford, and to be so disparate in your treatment to me. You gave granted interviews to everybody under the sun. But I come along and ask you questions. You made it in your official capacity. And in turn, you refuse to do that. Respond to me. Well, as you know, I never get angry. It's just that I'm very adamant about my rights and the rights of others. That's why I advocate, and this is why I do what I do. Because when you slip through the noose and you go undetected, or your friends wave you in through the back door to continue to behave with no warranty, no guarantee that you are going to stop the behavior or not practice or behave in such a way, I'm concerned. We'll get some answers one way or the other, or we will continue to look at and do investigations and into this matter. And I want to thank Tina Quizon again for being substantially helpful in this effort to gather these documents. And so we'll post them up on carolcox.com, and we will see you next week. Aloha, and take care, and give a shout out to my family back there in Tupelo, Mississippi. I hope you stay dry, and or if you got tearful eyes, you're probably missing me and crying, but I understand. I know what it's like, but stay dry and get on high land, because Mississippi is noted for its floods. So take care, and we'll be back next week, and don't sweat it.
Black is the color of my true love's hair. His face so soft and wondrous fair.
Show on 1080 AM KWAI Honolulu.